Times. Live on Radio 3 this Friday night from 7:45.
We're coming up this afternoon at 4:30. Eleanor Oldroyd presents Saturday Classics. But now, from the stage of Cadogan Hall in London, here's Christopher Cook with this week's BBC Proms Saturday Matinee.
A very warm welcome to the third of this year's Proms Saturday Matinees. And there's a world premiere and a pair of United Kingdom first performances here at Cadogan Hall this afternoon. We're going to hear music by British contemporary composers. Brian Ferneyhough, Harrison Birtwistle and Brian Elias, played by the Britain Symphonia, conducted by Clark Rundell and the pianist Nicholas Hodges. But first, the UK premiere of Michael Finnis's second piano concerto. No composer, I suppose, exercises our minds and our ears about where music fits into our ideas about culture so persistently as Michael Finnis. And no current composer gives his music such mind-stretching titles. There was The History of Photography in Sound, Casual Nudity, and Yob Culture. That's culture with a capital C at the beginning, but a CHA at the end. How conventional, then, the title Piano Concerto seems by comparison. But never judge a piece by its title alone. Michael Finnis wrote 7 piano concertos between 1975 and 1981. These are works that don't so much take the piano concerto for a bracing postmodern walk as pull it to pieces and then put it together again in an entirely new way. And they demand finger-popping virtuosity from the soloist. So Michael Finnis's second piano concerto reimagines the conventional relationship between soloist and ensemble. Indeed, the orchestra is reduced to 2 alto flutes and strings alone. And at the heart of the piece, there's an extended cadenza for the soloist that makes no bones about who's in charge. The assemblage of fragments is what interests me, Finnis says. From reading poetry, we know how powerful a pertinent choice of word can be. It's the same with sound. The choice of a right note is imperative because if it's halfway wrong, it's not going to produce the same effect. Now, members of the Britain Symphonia, conducted by Clark Rundell, are going to play Michael Finnis's second piano concerto. The soloist is Nicholas Hodges.
Thank you.
Nicholas Hodges was the soloist in Michael Finnis's second piano concerto. And that was the first performance of the concerto in this country. Clark Grundell conducted members of the Britten Sinfonia, and as perhaps you realise, Michael Finnis was here in the hall with us. There was a time when Brian Ferneyhough was a musical prophet, save in his own country, with his music hugely admired in Europe, but not much heard here in Britain. That balance was somewhat redressed when Ferneyhough was the featured composer in one of the BBC Symphony Orchestra's Total Immersion Days at the London Barbican Hall in February this year, which included the first performance in Britain of Plötzlichkeit, written for a very large orchestra. Well, the orchestra is altogether more modest for Prometheus, which we're about to hear this afternoon, and which was composed in 1967 for a woodwind sextet. Prometheus was the Titan who stole fire from Olympus and gave it to mankind. For his crime, Zeus had the Titan bound to a rock. Each day, an eagle, the god's own creature, was sent to peck out Prometheus's liver. And each night, that liver grew again to feed the bird the following day. This is the myth, then, about choices and about consequences. And taking its cue from the history of the ill-fated Titan, Brian Ferneyhough's Prometheus is also concerned with the making of free, creative choices and their consequences, but always, of course, in terms of sound. The work is approximately divided into three main sections. An opening movement, and if that isn't too formal a word, is followed by a quick scherzo, and Prometheus concludes with what has been described as a darkly ruminative third section with a richly textured chorale. There are cadenza-like solos for the clarinet and piccolo, and the work ends with the third such intervention, this time for a piccolo E-flat clarinet, sometimes called a soprano clarinet. Wind players from the Britten Sinfonia are conducted by Clark Grundell in this performance of Brian Ferneyhough's Prometheus.
Thank you. Thank you.
Members of the Britain Symphonia, conducted by Clark Rundell, have just played Brian Ferneyhough's wind sextet, Prometheus. In 1998, Sir Harrison Birtwistle composed a sequence of five solo piano pieces with the title Harrison's Clocks. The title is a gentle pun on Sir Harrison's first name and the surname of the man who struggled to create a timepiece that would keep perfect time at sea and so help sailors determine their longitude. And longitude was the title of Davina Sobel's much-admired biography of the horologist John Harrison. At another level, it's the idea of time that connects, perhaps, the 18th-century clockmaker to the contemporary composer. And time, as in so much of Birtwistle's music, is cyclical, refusing to follow the straight-line journey that so much Western music takes. Now, over two decades after Harrison's Clocks, Harrison Birtwistle has written for solo piano again. Gigue Machine was composed last year for Nicholas Hodges and designed in part to display his formidable skill at the keyboard. Birtwistle himself has described the piece as mimicking a fantasia in two parts, and that's perhaps another link back to Harrison's Clocks, which makes play with the idea of the fantasy as it helps to map the axis between etude and toccata, as one pianist has described the earlier work. But if Gigue Machine mimics a fantasia in two parts, it's two musics and not two voices, according to the composer. It's an interplay between something linear and sonorous and against something that is very staccato. To properly hear the distinction between the two parts, it needs to be as severe as that. Nicholas Hodges returns to the platform here at Cadogan Hall to play Harrison Birtwistle's Gigue Machine.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nicholas Hodges has just given the first performance in the United Kingdom of Harrison Birtwistle's Gieg Machine. And as I'm sure you realise by the enormous warmth of the welcome, Sir Harrison's here in the audience with us at Cadogan Hall today. This prom Saturday matinee here at Cadogan Hall ends with a world premiere, the first performance of Brian Elias's Electra Mourns. Elias is the youngest of the four contemporary British composers whose music is featured in this afternoon's prom Saturday matinee, but only by a matter of a few years, although it wasn't until 1979 that Elias made up his mind to become a full-time musician. It was in the 1990s that Brian Elias revealed a gift for matching the emotional weight of a text with music of comparable quality. Five songs to poems by Irina Rutschinskaya was applauded and admired when the BBC Symphony Orchestra took it on tour before eventually bringing it to the proms in 1991. Now comes another work for female voice and orchestra, Electra Mourns, a Scena written for mezzo-soprano, for solo cor anglais and strings. This is Sophocles' tragedy of Electra, the daughter of Agamemnon, who assists her brother Orestes in murdering their mother Clytemnestra along with her new partner. Clytemnestra's crime is to have killed her first husband Agamemnon on his return from the Trojan War in revenge for sacrificing their daughter Iphigenia to the gods in return for a good wind to carry the Greek expeditionary force to Troy. A dark and terrible story of a blood feud within one family, with Electra almost driven mad by her desire for her brother Orestes to return and to avenge their father's death. As Brian Elias has said, what sort of daughter would want to murder her mother and stepfather so savagely? Indeed, when Orestes does return, he must ask himself whether his half-demented sister's love is for him or simply for the idea of vengeance. Well, I'm joined now on the stage here at Cadogan Hall by Brian Elias. Brian, is this a subject that's been on your mind for a while?
For a very long time. I've always been fascinated by death, I suppose, and lamenting and mourning, sometimes called the master of the falling semitone. But this particular subject, this particular speech has been with me for a long time because I heard Fiona Shaw give a wonderful performance of it in a marvellous translation about 15 years ago, and it actually was so moving, it moved me to tears. But I realize after all this time that my interpretation of the speech is rather different to hers. I mean, she actually generated a lot of sympathy for the character of Electra, whereas I think Electra was not such a nice lady. She was absolutely hell-bent on revenge, totally monomaniacal, wanting murder, wanting blood. And she perpetuated, of course, the blood libel.
You've chose to set it in Sophocles' own Greek, classical Greek.
Yes, because it's such a marvellous language. I'm not actually a classical scholar at all, and I don't speak Greek, and I know nothing of it, but I studied the speech very carefully. Ancient Greek is full of wonderful rhythms, and actually the structure of the writing itself, the hexameters, all the various aspects of it are utterly fascinating, especially to a musician. And I've, for many years, I've been totally fascinated by Greek theories concerning music, dance, and poetry, which all these theories are unified by the theory of rhythm. And that's given me a lot to think about over the years.
I've suggested that one should hear it as a kind of Scena, and that perhaps suggests Mozart, Haydn, late 18th, early 19th century, the idea of the concertaria, but also Haydn's great Ariadne piece too.
Yeah, I think all these things are there in the sort of cooking of the piece. It's all part of the recipe. But it's a dramatic piece. I've called it a Scena because I sort of imagine it being perhaps on a stage somewhere or other. But I hope actually that most of the drama is in the music itself.
And the other soloist, apart from the mezzo-soprano, is of course a cor anglais.
Yes, it's when I decided to use the cor anglais, it arose out of a large work I'd written for orchestra, which was done in 2009, and I had solos for the alto, flute, and cor anglais in that. And even as I was composing those, I thought actually it would also be wonderful to have a voice going along with the cor anglais. And then, of course, later on, as I actually started work on the piece, there's all the sort of original things of having an aulos accompanying singers, and et cetera, et cetera. So again, there's nothing terribly obscure in it, but it was, I thought, a wonderful sonority to play with.
Brian Elias, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure.
Well, members of the Britten Sinfonia have returned to the stage now. Susan Bickley is the mezzo-soprano soloist, Nicholas Daniel plays the cor anglais, and the Britten Sinfonia is conducted by Clark Grundell in Brian Elias's Electra Morns. Electra mourns her dead brother Orestes. Now I would share your grave and never part from you again. I see only the dead can feel no pain. The first performance of Brian Elias's Electra Mourns. Susan Bickley was the mezzo-soprano soloist, Nicholas Daniel played the cor anglais, and the strings of the Britten Sinfonia were conducted by Clark Rundell.
And that was Christopher Cook at Cadogan Hall.
Life for young Europeans.
If you are caught sleeping in the public place, then you can be fined or you can go to prison. Basically, poverty is criminalized if you're homeless.
A generation fighting draconian legislation, rising poverty and corruption.
He's young, he's inexperienced, but that's a good thing because as he's inexperienced in politics, he doesn't know how to steal.
BBC Radio 4 spends a week with Generation E, starting on Monday at 1:45.
Coming up next this afternoon, Saturday Classics. Until then, we have time for two of Fauré's impromptus.
Thank you.
Catherine Stott was the pianist in two of Fauré's impromptus, number 3 in A-flat major, opus 34, and number 1 in E-flat, opus 25. Schoenberg's rarely performed choral blockbuster Guruleader features in tomorrow night's BBC Proms concert live from the Royal Albert Hall. Jukka-Pekka Saraste conducts the BBC Symphony Orchestra and a massed choir of some 300 voices, plus an impressive international solo lineup headed by the New Zealand tenor Simon O'Neill as Valdemar and the German soprano Angela Danoka, who makes her Proms debut tomorrow night on BBC Radio 3 at 8 o'clock. Well now, it's 4:30 and time for Saturday Classics, and today's edition is presented by the sports broadcaster and keen amateur musician Eleanor Oldroyd.
Hello. At first glance, classical music and sport may not seem to make great bedfellows, but in fact the connections between the two run far and wide. And over the next couple of hours, I'll be sharing a selection of sporting music with you, some well known and some probably less familiar. Where better to start than with music written for the Olympics?
Thank you.
The Olympic Games continue to fascinate and inspire each one of us. The human spirit soars and we strive for the best within us. These are the qualities which we seek to capture, describe and preserve through music. The words of composer John Williams. We heard the Boston Pops Orchestra there in his Olympic fanfare and theme, written for the 1984 LA Olympics. They were conducted by the composer. Well, in addition to the Olympics, this year marks the 20th anniversary of an ingenious adaptation of a Handel anthem, which is now synonymous with great nights of European football. From Zadok the Priest to Zinedine Zidane, if you like. In 1992, European football's governing body UEFA asked composer Tony Britton to come up with a piece to be played before the start of games in the newly founded Champions League. The notes in Britton's version clearly nod towards the anthem originally composed for the coronation of King George II, but the lyrics are rather different. In the three official languages of UEFA, the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields sing of Die Meister, Die Besten, Les Grandes Équipes, the champions. But let's forget for a moment how it sounds when sung at the San Siro, the Nou Camp, or Old Trafford. Here's the original, written for Westminster Abbey in 1727, and it's been sung at every coronation since. Sir Neville Mariner conducted the Academy of St Martin in the Fields together with the Academy of St Martin in the Fields Chorus in Handel's coronation anthem, Zadok the Priest. Well, staying on the subject of football, there are quite a few composers who were fans of the game. Dmitri Shostakovich, for one. He was an avid Zenit Leningrad fan. The club is now called Zenit St Petersburg. And he was also a qualified football referee. His ballet, The Golden Age, is a satirical work which centres on the beautiful game. A Russian football team arrive in a city dogged by political corruption, and the players fall victim to match-fixing, are persecuted by the police, and end up being unjustly thrown in jail. The team is finally freed only when the locals overthrow their capitalist rulers. Let's hear the suite Shostakovich made from the ballet music. The Gothenburg Symphony Orchestra are conducted by Neymar Järvi.
Thank you. Thank you.